Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 914 on a Monday morning. Rigraff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel today, and with us, WAMC's Alan Chartok, political consultant Libby Post, executive editor of the Times Herald Record, Barry Lewis, and chairman of Capital District Latinos, Dan Irizarry. And our email address here is panel@wamc.org if you want to join the discussion. Keep your letters brief, one a day per customer, please, no links, that sort of thing. panel@wamc.org. And panel, before we get going here today, I thought we would get a briefing from our Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard concerning the just horrific tragedy that happened in Schoharie over the weekend. Lucas.
Ray, thanks for having me on. So I went to the briefing yesterday at Troop G headquarters, State Police headquarters in Latham. There, the first deputy superintendent of the New York State Police, Christopher Fiore, appeared with the chair of the National Transportation Safety Board, Robert Sumwalt, and other officials to give some details about the crash. They stressed repeatedly that this is the investigations by police and NTSB are in their infancy. But the basic details, 20 people killed, 18 were inside of a limousine that crossed an intersection of State Routes 30 and 30A. It's at the bottom of a steep hill. It's a T-style intersection. And officials wouldn't sort of detail what direction it was traveling, but presumably there's only a stop sign on one side of the road there when it's coming down the hill. The vehicle crossed through the intersection, struck a parked, unoccupied vehicle in a parking lot across the street for the Apple Barrel Country Store, and there were two pedestrians that were struck and killed as well, bringing the death toll to 20. So there's been a lot of moving parts since then. A lot of the victims' names, although not officially released, have been reported on by various news outlets that have been covering this over the weekend. I just got off the phone minutes ago with the mayor of the city of Amsterdam, where he said many of the victims were from. And he told me that his adult children went to school with some of the victims. His sons wrestled with brothers. There was four sisters involved in the crash. They wrestled with that family. Involved in, you know, the booster club and various school functions. Tonight, Amsterdam is hosting a vigil at the Mohawk Valley Gateway Overlook Bridge. That starts at 6:30 with candles being passed around, and then a number of speakers are going to be there. Congressman Paul Tonko, who is from Amsterdam, will be there. What he said is, you know, he wanted to show, Mayor Villa said he wanted to show that this was being done not only on the city's behalf, but, you know, just sort of as friends and neighbors. And
Lucas Willard, you mentioned that the investigation's still very early, but what do we know about this intersection and the past history? That's Route 30 and 30A, correct?
Yes. Okay. So we talked to the town supervisor, Alan Tavener, yesterday, the Schoharie town supervisor, and he described it as a dangerous intersection. And, you know, he had said that they have complained to the Department of Transportation about this intersection. He said about 4 years ago, DOT banned tractor trailer traffic on the hill coming down at the intersections of 30 and 30A. So if you look at it, you know, you can look at it overhead from a map. It's a T-style intersection. It comes down a long hill, stop sign with the other road passing through.
So they knew it was an accident waiting to happen, obviously, if they banned the 18-wheelers, right?
Right. Well, the town supervisor had said that there were tractor trailers that had gone through that intersection before. So this issue of vehicle safety is certainly a factor that NTSB is looking into. And yesterday, Senator Charles Schumer put out a statement saying that this was sort of similar to an incident in 2015 where he urged the NTSB to investigate an accident on Long Island, which also involved a stretch limo. So the officials haven't released the name of the if there was a limousine company involved in this, if it was a somebody's own vehicle.
We know it was an earlier model.
It was a 2001.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do know that at least it was reported on our news, that at least one of the people who was getting into that limo texted somebody else and said, "This looks very dangerous. I don't know if we're going to make it." Can you imagine that?
And Lucas, there were no, apparently there were no skid marks at the scene, which would have
indicated a vehicle trying to stop, right?
Right. So if a vehicle, if it was coming down, like I can understand those tractor trailers. So if the limo suddenly had issues that it knew it needed to stop and was just going too fast, that would be the skid marks. To some degree, the fact that there weren't any, you know, brings, obviously, in the NTSB, we'll be looking at this horrific accident. But
right.
That also makes a question as to judgment of the driver of the vehicle.
The other part of this is once the autopsies are done, it's quite possible the driver had a heart attack and the people in the van didn't know.
Right. We don't know.
Anything's possible.
We don't know what the driver's...
Right.
Whether they were drinking, what was going on.
I think there's a great danger in jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
And state police, as Lucas mentioned to me this morning, they're very circumspect about releasing information. And we're very early on here. Lucas Willard will be keeping an eye on this.
But I wanted to say one thing, and that is that 20 people are dead. They're dead, and they're not coming back. It's a terrible, terrible tragedy for all of us.
Yes.
And any one of us can imagine getting into that vehicle or being subjected to that. So 20 people are dead. What I'm always interested in is there are certain towns, like mine, where if somebody dies, you get a blinking light. If a couple of people die, you may get a stoplight. But think about this, right?
Gosh.
If there was a stoplight there, 20 people wouldn't be dead.
That's right. Absolutely. And there have been complaints. And you have to wonder why nothing got done.
Except, you know, we don't know.
Exactly.
We just don't know if even, because we've all been in the news business enough to know that even with stop signs and traffic lights and every conceivable precautionary measure, for whatever reason, and there are various reasons, these horrific accidents, happens.
Barry, that's true, except that the numbers would suggest that, yes, there will be people who go through, idiots who go through, red lights.
They pass school buses. Yeah, I mean, right, there are things right.
We know that. But the numbers would indicate, I am sure, that if you have a stoplight, a red light, more people are going to stop than if you have a stop sign. And if you have a stop sign, more people are going to stop than if you have a yield sign. That's just the
way
it is.
We just don't know in this one. And I think equally frustrating with this is that these people were smart enough. They were going on a wine tasting. They did just what everyone would want and encourage, which is you get a limo, so you're being as safe as conceivably can be, and enjoy a great weekend.
Well, our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and the families of the victims. And Lucas Willard, thank you for a debrief here this morning. I know you're on this case, and we'll hear more later today.
Can I say one more thing about that? It was on a weekend. It was a Columbus Day weekend. And our magnificent staff, Lucas and Brian Shields and who else was there?
Jim Lavoulis was a huge help.
Everybody just converged on the station. Nobody called them. Nobody said you have to do it. They just knew to come here and do it, and they deserve all of our gratitude. And thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And Lucas, thank you, and we'll hear more on Midday Magazine. We appreciate it very much. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. And I tell you what, before we go to the BBC News, it's probably too early to get into the news of the weekend. So let's remind people that our fund drive begins a week from today, Uncle Alan.
You know, Ray, it's a somber thing. Nobody wants to raise money after talking about a horrific thing that has beset our community. And yet, as I just said, the entire news staff, or a large part of it, converged on this station, and they have to get paid. And that's what we do here. And you know it. Everybody knows it. And so in the most respectful way I can, let's all remember what this is about. This is a way of all our putting our resources in together so we can have a great station. And we just ask you to do that. And at WAMC.org, or if you want to make a call now, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. We're counting on you. I'm asking you. We're all in this together. Do it for us. Do it for you. Let's do it together.
And once again, that email address is wamc.org. The lockbox is open for you. Now we'll finally introduce our panel today. Libby Post, political consultant. Welcome. Nice to have you here this morning.
Thank you, Ray.
And you're raising your hand.
Saying goodbye.
No, I was saying goodbye.
Okay. You don't generally, as the boss, you don't have to raise your hand here on the program. Times Herald Record executive editor Barry Lewis. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Ray. Thank you.
And Dan Arizari, Capital District Latinos. Nice to have you here, sir.
Buenos dias.
Hey, you know what? Since we only have a few minutes here before the news,
sure.
You have some events coming up. Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. So the Cultural Empowerment and Community Engagement Center, which is located at 160 Central Avenue, it's formerly the St. John's Lutheran Church, just a few steps away from WAMC, mm-hmm. is celebrating Hispanic heritage. We've already had a number of really wonderful events. We had the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in our courtyard, and we were lucky to have the local politicians arrive, and including Congressman Tonko. We had a great event. And coming up this week on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we have Dr. Jose Cruz from SUNY Albany, who is, among other things, a master in music. He will be talking about the Latino jazz tradition from Spain to the streets of East Harlem, and giving a talk about how that history has continued to impact jazz up until modern times and music in general. So that is a really incredible discussion that will be had. Plus, there'll be a musical demonstration as well, because he is an accomplished conguero, for those of us who don't know. And that's at 6 o'clock.
It's 6 o'clock. Is,
I'm sorry?
A conguero is?
Conguero is a conga player.
Mm. A conga. Yeah.
Yes. So, right. So that's Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and it's free to the public. Please come. And then we'll also have on a thrilling thing for me is that we're going to have a classical series that we're going to start because the church has a beautiful sanctuary and it has tremendous acoustics. And so we're going to start a series that we're calling Classical Saturdays, Sábados Clásicos. And we're going to have at 3 o'clock for the small price of just $10, we're going to have a duet from New York City called Violin YC, and I'm happy to say that one of the members of the duet is my niece.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's right, who is an accomplished violinist who just came off a stint from the New Haven Symphony Orchestra. She will be there with another gentleman, and they will be playing selections running the gamut from Brahms to Gardel. So please attend at 3 o'clock, 160 Central Avenue. And we're also going to have an exhibition right prior to the concert. We're going to have the opening of Armando Soto, who is a wonderful artist from New York City, from the Puerto Rican community. His art is on display also at the what we're calling our Artist Lounge.
How do people find out more about all this?
You go to the Capital District Latinos Facebook page, and you can find all the information you need on these events and other things that are happening.
You know, you're a brave man for trying to keep classical music afloat. It's, you know...
Well, it's important that we as a community of color emphasize that we're not just about what people typically think about salsa and, you know, dancing in the streets.
Salsa's good, too.
No, it is. No, I listen to it every day. But I think it's important to emphasize that we have representation in all aspects of music and culture, and that we need to celebrate those, not just what people commonly associate with Latino culture.
And it's always great to hear music in a church, too. I mean, the natural reverb rocks.
Oh, my gosh. And that church has been... It was established in the 1800s, and so you know the craftsmanship that went into building that church. The stained glass is absolutely beautiful. If you have never been to that church, I suggest you come just because it's a beautiful place.
Sure it is.
Well, once again, the Facebook presence for
Capital District Latinos on Facebook. Yep.
Well, thank you very much for keep filling us in on that. Once again, we have about a minute here, Alan. Just want to remind people that, yes, this is the roundtable panel. Yes, a lot went on this weekend, and we'll be taking care of that business right after the BBC News. There's a fund drive coming up a week from today. We'll be on the air.
Yes.
And we are raising money in the lockbox. Try to make halfway before we start.
We need to get to that $400,000 mark today, this morning, if we can do it. Where are we at, Ray?
When we started this morning, we were at $382,000. So that's about $117,000 to go.
If we can do that this morning, if we can do that this morning.
So 17 to go to make $400,000 today.
17 to go. If we can do that this morning, it would be great. And then for the rest of the week, we can make that other $100,000 to get to the $500,000 mark. It's doable because we know that during the fund drive, we make $100,000 a day quite often. So now, if everybody just wants to say, hey, WAMC, these are terrible times. We have some bad things going on, but if we all stick together, we're going to feel a lot better. And everybody comes up to me in the street and they say that. They say, if I didn't have you, what would we have?
All right. Our website is WAMC.org. There is a link for the lockbox there. You can make your pledge. We have some stuff to give away if you are interested in that as well. Today's panelists, Libby Post, Barry Lewis, Dan Irizarry, and Alan Chartok. You can join us by emailing panel@WAMC.org. panel@WAMC.org. We will get into the business of the day right after BBC News. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's Monday morning, 9:34. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel, and we're joined today by political consultant Libby Post, executive editor of the Times-Herald Record, Barry Lewis, chairman of Capital District Latinos, Dan Irizarry, and WAMC's own Alan Chartok. You can join the conversation by emailing us at panel@WAMC.org. After a 50-48 roll call vote in the Senate, Brett Kavanaugh was sworn in Saturday night as the 114th Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Noisy to the end, the Senate battle featured a call of the roll that was interrupted several times by protesters shouting in the spectators' gallery before Capitol Police removed them. Vice President Mike Pence presided, his potential tie-breaking vote ultimately unnecessary. President Trump was flying to Kansas for a political rally. He gave a thumbs up, and he later talked about Kavanaugh being able to withstand this horrible, horrible attack by the Democrats. And then at the rally, he said the Democrats functioned as an angry left-wing mob. Who wants first today?
It was interesting that after the Thomas hearings, George Bush was out, I think it was outside of Clarence Thomas's home, and mm-hmm. talked about both Clarence Thomas and the president talking about needing to move on and bringing the country together. And we didn't hear
sure,
that.
Sure, because they won.
Well, yes. But you still you make that gesture. And the folks yesterday or this weekend who won, the president, Republican leadership, made no attempts to say, let's move together. If anything, there was more ridicule and divisiveness, and certainly a rush by the president to continue to ignite and use this as a way to even ignite more the base.
Barry, you make a great point, and I have to say that they send out talking points, obviously, because every one of them used the same word, which is mob.
Right.
The Democrats are the mob. You know, how
screeching mob.
But yeah, but mob, right. Mob is the central word.
That's right.
That
it's like thug.
Yeah.
Mob, thug, it's the same.
Yeah. Right. And we know who they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make an excellent point there, Barry.
You know, the thing is this. Yes, we lost, okay? But we can't just lick our wounds and stay home. And, you know, I've been reading a lot.
They're counting on it, Libby.
I know they are, and that's the issue. They always count on us not getting out of bed the next day, and
now
we
you
have
say us,
to.
You mean?
I'm saying to people who were
who may feel strongly about who, this, Ray. You may not,
right,
but
right.
Libby
no,
and
just,
I.
I'm
but
just
Libby
clarifying.
And I,
right.
Yeah,
I'm talking about.
We get it,
right,
Ray.
Right.
We get it. Yeah.
So I'm talking about those of us who were in opposition to this Supreme Court justice.
What did you say?
And who are in favor of progress in this country. And so they don't want us to get up in the morning, and that's the biggest mistake we can make. We have to get up in the morning. But what's important, and Barry and I were talking about this before, you know, we've put all of our eggs in the Supreme Court basket for so long because the Republicans have been so effective in taking over state legislators and governorships and Congress. Now we have to make sure that we vote, we work for progressive candidates, we work for candidates who are going to be good on the issues, and that we change that tide, because now we have to look to the legislators to do the right thing. And, you know, it's not going to be easy, and it's a long-term thing. I mean, Bill Bradley wrote about this, in the early 2000s, about how the Republicans had laid this groundwork for 30 years. Tom Friedman wrote about it just the other day, how they had a strategy to take over the courts. Well, we need a long-term strategy, and I think we're in the midst of something like that now. The problem is, you know, Democrats like to fight with each other. We need strong leadership, and we need all of us need to get behind what we're trying to do, which is to change the face of this government and change on state, local, and federal level.
Democrats have a tremendous propensity to pick the wrong fight sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that the Supreme Court fight wasn't worth fighting, but let's face it. Early on, we all knew that the cake was pretty much baked, right? Because we knew Manchin wasn't going to vote against it. We knew that the odds were against this.
How about Susan Collins?
And come on, she
kind of hinted that she was not going to be voting, that she was going to be supporting.
Right, but I hate to say it, but I think that, you know, we lost that fight when we lost the election. That was going to happen, and these guys are taking no prisoners. What really struck me from where I sit and the community that I try to serve is that we witnessed in Brett Kavanaugh kind of like the primal scream of the white American patrician class and their desire to hold on to power regardless of the consequences of their actions before or after or during. And the fact that Brett Kavanaugh was just sitting there and saying everything that he did, that kind of impugned his ability to be unbiased, and that regardless of all of that, the Republicans had the power, they had the numbers, and they were always going to prevail in this fight. And we picked the fight that I don't know that was really wise that we should have picked it.
Well, look, let's face it. Many of us, and Ray makes a very good point, we are not all speaking with one voice here. There may be somebody around this room who has different views.
Well, WAMC is not an organ of any political party. That's
not
the point.
Of course not. So your point is extremely well made, and I thank you for it, Ray. I really do. But we are. Some of us are just decimated as individuals, are decimated about the outcome of this. You're so right. During the fight for the presidency, many of us went around and said, instead of it's all about the economy, stupid, we were going around saying it's all about the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
And it turned, well, no, it turns out it is the Supreme Court.
You know, I think that the frustration for Democrats is that they saw Mitch McConnell and they saw a man who was brilliant over these last, 10 years, truly
brilliant. What was the adjective, brilliant?
What?
Did you say brilliant?
Yes, brilliant.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was brilliant, strategically brilliant. He had a long-term game plan. It might have meant costing them the election for the presidency because, no one knew.
Or the election for the Senate right now.
Or the election for the Senate. Right. But he had a long-term – the plan is to have conservatives on the Supreme Court and conservatives in the other courts below. Mm-hmm. And, of course, even earlier than that, the houses and the governorships. And that long-term plan, that strategy, steadfast, stay with it. And the Democrats did not and do not. I mean, you didn't hear a single Democrat after Lindsey Graham made his speech. You didn't hear a single Democrat in outrage. There was no Chuck Schumer or Pelosi or really anybody. Cory Booker, I mean, there really wasn't anybody who countered that. I mean, that was done. It was over.
And this story is just going to continue to eclipse everything else that is happening. And I'm not going to try to diminish the importance of it. But there are so many other things that are happening. Right now, there are 13,000 children in the desert, in the Southwest, in camps that we're not talking about anymore.
Some would say concentration camps.
Some would say that. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about that because we're talking now, Democrats are licking their wounds and the Republicans are winning. They're doing so much winning that you're going to get tired of it.
But this ties to that.
I'm tired of it.
But this ties to that because because the Supreme Court and the judicial system is now more controlled by conservatives with a conservative ideology And that will have a bearing on those children.
Without question. You just watch. Susan Collins said that she had the assurances of Kavanaugh that he would, that it was established law. Roe v. Wade was established law. To which I say, anybody got a bridge they want to buy? Let's see them start to snip off pieces of this as they go.
They'll throw it back to the states. And if they throw it back to the states,
then think about a 16-year-old kid who is impregnated, perhaps by a father, perhaps by an uncle, and who cannot get an abortion
living in Iowa
because they live in the wrong state.
And now he's going to have to either figure out how to get from Iowa to a
California
state
or New York.
It's fair.
That's what it's going
to
be.
It's fair to note that we have been wrong before in making predictions about what Supreme Court justices will do, and so therefore getting apoplectic about hypotheticals may be a bit premature.
Well, you know, first, then me, then anybody else who wants to yell at you.
There was I saw on a news bit this morning of some conservative legislator down south who said, with the Kavanaugh appointment, ladies, get your hangers ready.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So they know. Well, they know what's going to happen.
You know, Libby, you know, this is really going to be what I'm worried about here is the depressive cloak that has come over those people who know exactly what's going on here, who believe they've lost a major battle, and as a result say, I'm never going to turn the television on again. I'm not even going to listen to you guys on the round table anymore. I've heard it all weekend long wherever I go. So if that happens, they've won not only their Supreme Court justice, but they've also won the battle because they've turned off the base, the blue base.
Right. I understand what you're saying, and I'm even, you know, guilty of coming home, and Lynn's been watching MSNBC all day, and I just want to turn on NCIS just for a break because I'm getting it at work.
Yeah,
or Gunsmoke.
Or Gunsmoke. We have to take a quick break here. Okay. But the timing of this vote, there are 29 days until midterms. And I'll just leave you with this quote before the break. Gary Pierce, who is a North Carolina Democratic strategist, said this: the Kavanaugh debate is making the two groups of people who are already mad at each other in America even madder. To me, the question is, who's maddest? And we'll talk about this effect on the midterms coming up on the roundtable. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC 946 Monday morning. Libby Post is on the panel today. Barry Lewis, Dan Irizarry, and Alan Chartok. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue today. And the email address is panel@wamc.org. We'll take care of some letters and then get back to the discussion at hand.
Okay. Fred says, are the Democrats doing anything to counter these Trump rallies? How are they presenting? And that's from Fred. Well, I see precious little. He's the president of the United States. He gets up there. They load the audience. They have the right complexions behind them. You know that they do what they have to do. And that's a very good point, Fred. Stephen says, Kavanaugh, is it possible for a sitting Supreme Court justice to be indicted, subpoenaed, or impeached? Absolutely, it is. You're not going to impeach anybody. I'll tell you right now. What'd you say?
Has it ever happened?
I wish I knew.
No, and we've had some Supreme Court justices with ideologies to the right of Attila the Hun. Yeah.
And you will remember that Abe Fortas didn't get from associate justice to chief justice, as I remember, because they found some stuff on him.
Yeah, we had justices supporting some segregation and everything. So. Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible? And by the way, there are switches. There have been switches. Hugo Black, other people who had been deep south but who came onto the court and who really changed their mind. But I don't see that happening here. One of the things that I think is so amazing about Kavanaugh is that immediately they put out a thing saying all of his clerks, he's already chosen his clerks, are going to be female.
Right. Yeah.
I will bet you anything that Susan Collins, from now until her election 2 years from now, will be the biggest Trump detractor that you could possibly imagine. She'll be saying over and over again, he shouldn't have said that, he shouldn't have done that. But when the vote was really needed, she wasn't there. That is for sure.
We have seen the wholesale possession of the Republican Party by Trump. He's seized it. It's his.
This is an interesting point, Dan, because there were many Republican who would more or less hold their nose with regard to the president's the way he comported himself. And it seems to me that this whole Senate hearing has galvanized some support behind Trump that I never suspected he would get among the Republicans.
Well, I think the bottom line here is the evangelical vote, because this is what really strikes me, and I've said it here before, as the son of a pastor, that this guy, you know, the Cheeto in chief, sorry, I had to throw that in because that's how I feel about him, but this fellow has successfully sold himself to the moral majority, if that's an old term, but whatever. They're not in the majority, but they have. He sold himself to the as a crusader on behalf of religious matters, when the guy embodies everything that religious people kind of have always shunned, in my experience.
But it isn't only that. This has to do with a differential between the haves and the have-nots in this country. The people who are running, in my mind, the people who are running this are saying, we want a Supreme Court justice in there. We don't care about Trump. I think most of those senators can't stand the guy.
They can't stand him. Yeah. They want the policy.
But that what they wanted is this Supreme Court justice
Absolutely. To
cement the constitutional approach, and we're going to get it whether we like it or not from now on for 30, 35 years. And it could get worse because, as you know, McConnell indicated that he's going to go back on his own approach towards
2020.
Right. And saying 2020, even if we lose the presidency, we're going to do it and we're going to support it. And so that is really
very Trumpian, isn't it?
Well, yes. Yeah. Okay. So some more letters. Okay. Kavanaugh. Is it possible for sitting? Yeah, we did that. Whoa.
What is that? Commissioner Gordon.
Go away.
It's the
bathroom. You know what?
Okay. Susan Collins.
I thought I turned it off. I swear I did.
Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm sorry, Chief.
It's okay.
R. Jeremy says, just like Alan worries about not making the fun goal, I worry about the Dems blowing the blue wave. For an instance, Schumer shuts down the government. Gillibrand wants to abolish ICE. And now they overplay the inevitable Kavanaugh nomination to energize the Republican base. Why are we like this?
You're raising your hand, Libby.
Yes.
We recognize you.
Okay.
Please, Libby.
So,
I'll turn the phone off.
I think that the Republican base will stay home because they got Kavanaugh, and it's over for them now, and it's a month out.
I think that's wishful thinking.
I think that's dangerous thinking. Well, I think everyone should come out and vote. And as Ray said, you know, the matter, you know, that Brooklynese getting in the way, the MADDER, is who is really going to. I think we're going to see midterm turnout, as we saw in the primaries of, I don't know if it's historic, but certainly within the last several decades, historic numbers.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also think that the base got what they wanted. They got Kavanaugh, and everyone is discounting the grassroots movements that have been going on across the country that are progressive and blue and democratic. And everybody wants this top down. Where is the Democratic Heritage Foundation? Where is the Democratic Koch brothers? You know, where is all this stuff from top down? We need to look at what's at the bottom and coming up. And the fact that there are more people registered now as Democrats, more people activated. The Kavanaugh thing has activated the Democratic base to a point where I think we're going to see a massive switch on Election Day.
You know
I think
what?
We're going
you
to see
right
a real big
could,
change.
You could be right.
No,
you
we
could
all be
wrong.
The fact Barry is, can be too.
Well, Barry, yes, but Barry has a very good point that he's making here, which is if anybody believes somebody, I'm scared to death personally now, that people won't show up. And I'll tell you why, because of what I just saw this weekend. People who are not watching the news, who say, I've had enough, we lost, I'm depressed, I want to move to another country, I want to go here and there. Libby, I think Barry's point is right. If people are concerned about this, they have to turn out.
But you live in an area, Alan, let's be real, where people have the resources to move to another country. Okay? The best of us don't.
I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying I'm moving to another country, and I'm not saying anybody's moving to another country.
But you know
I'm just
what I
telling
mean.
You what I keep hearing.
Right, right. But well, it's from your demographic over there in the Berkshires.
Oh, stop
What we need to do is we need to tune out what Trump and company are saying and continually saying. And by the way, he has mastered, I think it's the whole thing with the power of positive thinking. If you keep saying something,
yes.
you make it true.
Propaganda
that was,
101.
Exactly.
Goebbels 101.
Right, that was
there
Goebbels.
You go. So you
right.
keep saying it. And so now he's going around saying there's going to be a red wave and people are going to start believing it. And I think the Democrats have to stop falling for all of the stuff
you are so smart.
That Trump throws at them.
No. Before we get to an apocalyptic note yeah. there, and it's kind of what Ray said, you know, this also, we need to note that Justice Ginsburg and Kagan joined Justices Thomas and Alito at mm-hmm. the swearing-in of Roberts. We've had Justices Souter, by Chief Justice mm-hmm. Roberts of Kavanaugh. We've had Justice Roberts, who ironically wound up to be the deciding mm-hmm. vote to keep Obamacare. And so we don't historically know always how Supreme Court
a lot of books have been written, Barry, about the Roberts Court.
Yeah.
And it's quite clear
it's a conservative,
that it's a very
it's a conservative. And Kennedy was a conservative, and yet. So I just think, you know, this is the Supreme Court. It's not Fight Club. And, you know, people was all this whole weekend. Well, are they going to get along? Are they, you know, to a degree, these are some great intellectuals. I think these are mature people. They're going to get along. I don't think that Ginsburg, Kagan, and Ruth Bader are going to just, you know, turn over and give it up.
No,
Sotomayor. But I think they also know there is some level of congeniality, and they're going to have to work it through.
Well, they believe in the institution. That's
I think Roberts
thing.
Believes in the institution.
Yes, I do too. I think they all do. I think
Justice Roberts is going to be someone who's going to make
That's exactly right. He is, because he believes in the institution and he understands the importance of this court in the land and what it's supposed to stand for. It's not supposed to be a partisan battleground.
Good hope, but you know what, Libby?
Can I finish, Alan?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay?
I'm grimacing. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think that, yes, they will maintain the decorum, the collegiality, the ability to talk to one another, the ability to debate on a legal level so that they can come to decisions. I'm not saying they're not going to all the decisions are going to go our way and most of them will go the way that we don't want them to go, but at least I'm hoping the integrity of the court is maintained, because you have this collegiality where you had Ruth Bader Ginsburg and I think Kagan going to that swearing in of one of the most divisive nominations.
I don't want to interrupt you anymore.
Go right ahead now.
But I want to why start now?
That. Right.
But I do think that you don't bite the hand that feeds you. Number one, and these people have been vetted. They have been, and when you tell me, collegiality, and I say, look at Citizens United. Look at all the stuff that they have done to turn this political system to the right and are moving ahead at all deliberate speed.
Well, they're going to be there for our life, Alan. So, the alternative is.
What are you saying, Barry?
Well, I guess the question is, we need, as Americans, some level of faith in a system that we have, and we look at what Roberts and some others. I'm not suggesting that this is going to be a conservative court, and it's going to be a conservative court, and it could be even more conservative depending on if Trump wins a re-election.
You're saying this is – but you're putting it almost to me, at least this is what I'm hearing, as almost a benign thing. Oh, it's a conservative court. No, it is because of that policy that a lot of people who are crossing borders with their children are going to have those kids ending up in camps. It's because of all of the things that, you know, that health care means to so many Americans who don't have anything, to all of the have-nots. I'm sorry. I don't see it as just collegiality.
Maybe those people should have all come out and should have voted and should have not stayed home.
Should have.
To stop this show. Dan,
Can we bring it back to the vote? I think the whole message of Trump and the Republican Party is we have the momentum behind us. But I just want to say one thing. I know there's a young lady, a friend of our family, who graduated last year from college, and she is hard at work for a company called DigiDems. And what they're doing is they're data mining, they're targeting people, they're looking for people who have not voted in the past, or who might be on the couch, or marginalized mm-hmm. by everything, and they're strategically finding them and calling them to
this
vote.
This is how Obama got elected.
And this is something that we need to focus on. Oh, forget about Kavanaugh for a moment, because it's a done deal, and focus on what we can affect.
That's right.
And
yeah,
right
but,
now,
but, yeah,
that
yeah.
is...
And your point is extremely well taken, Dan, but Barry's point is not well taken.
Okay. We have to take a break
and,
here, people.
But I have to say this real fast. When he said they should have come out and voted before, as opposed to what you're saying, which is we're going to give them a little helping hand to come
That's
out.
That's right.
Shoulda, shmoulda. But when that kid has to go to a hospital or to a children's health program and it isn't there because of this, that would be terrible. Now, Ray is having...
A little agita.
It's time to take a break here. And once again...
You got another minute.
No, it's time for the news. I'll remind everyone that the lockbox is open, WAMC.org. We have some money to raise before our fund drive begins a week from today. We'll take a break for news. We didn't get to too many letters. We'll get back to those.
WAMC.org.
And we'll be right back. Welcome back to the roundtable. It's Monday morning, 10:05. Ray in for Joe today. Libby Post, Dan Irizarry, Barry Lewis, and Alan Chartok on the panel today. And Alan, big doings.
Well, there are, Ray. I thank you for acknowledging that. And here's the deal, everybody. Columbus Day has never been a productive fundraising day. We know that. And like all other Columbus Days, this is here. However, this particular Columbus Day, the wet blanket for many people, maybe not everybody, but for many people has been the Supreme Court fight and the terrible, tragic death of 20 people who really didn't have to die. And we are really all communally mourning for them and for the political outcome that many of us have seen and are depressed about. But if you give up at a time like that, then the other guys who may have a viewpoint in the world that is an anathema to you win. It's that simple. Well, probably knowing that, Melissa and Dell of Springfield, Massachusetts, have said, tell you what, we need to do something. We need to dig out of here. In order to get to the $400,000 mark now, we need $17,000, and we only have 24 minutes to do it in.
Yep.
$17,000 in 24 minutes. If you do it, I'll give you $1,000. We'll give you $1,000. Melissa and Dell, we love you of Spring Hill, Massachusetts. We thank you for that because it just came in over the phone. You know, there are people who say, come on, you're making them up. We have never made one up in history. And let me tell you something. This is quite a radio station. You get people here who really care about it. It's not for the money. Believe me, it's not for the money. But you get people like even the youngest among us, like Ian Pickus. Think about that. Very young man. Extraordinary news director. He's been here 10 years.
10 years already?
10 years. Wow. How did that happen?
Wow.
Our wonderful number two in our engineering department, Jessica O'Rourke, 10 years. Paul Tuthill, 11 years.
Wow.
Heather Shaw, 11 years. Dave Lucas has been here, unbelievably, 11 years.
Huh.
The great Sarah LaDuke, who produces this program, 12 years. Our wonderful David Hopper, 13 years. Stacy Rosenberry, who runs all of our engineering, 13 years. Zach Malloy, who's always in our control room in the mornings, taking care of us all. Zach Malloy, 15 years.
The amazing thing about Zach Malloy is he started here when he was 5.
Exactly.
Big Barr, Nick Barr, it says here, it says Big Barr, but
Bick?
It's Nick Barr.
Good old
I wonder
Bick.
Who that was. He's been here 18 years doing that wonderful show. Brian Shields, our wonderful Brian.
Good old Brian.
19
Brian
years. Pat Bradley.
No, Brian must be more than 19 years. I've been here 22 years.
What Brian did was he did two shifts, and I don't think that was all counted. He was here,
and then
he left for
year.
A little while,
yeah.
And then he came back.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And Pat Bradley, 22 years. Joe Donahue, think of this, 23 years. Dave Gustina, 23 years, Dave Gustina. A kid, I tell you.
Yes.
Sharon Lesak, our wonderful Sharon, 25 years.
Yeah.
Josie Slavinsky, who does all of that great work selling in the Berkshires in Vermont and Connecticut, selling our underwriting. She's been here 25 years.
Yikes.
Tim Coakley, 26 years, all that jazz. And then Selma, 27 years
Whoa.
Selma. And Wanda Fisher, 29
That's
years.
Amazing.
Those are people who have a real loyalty
yeah.
to this station.
Hello,
and
I've been here like 21 years myself. Hello. Oh,
you're not on the list.
Why am I not
oh,
on the list?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Hello.
Ray Graff, 21 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Says so right here.
Let's put that at the top of the list.
Okay. Well, put it on top. Anyway, so think about that. These are all people, just people who have 10 years or more. People have a tremendous loyalty to this station who work here.
But it also goes the other way. It's loyalty back. I've worked in radio and commercial radio for a long time prior to coming here. There was no loyalty. You ran. Oftentimes, if you were at a small station, you ran to the bank on payday to cash your check, and you were hoping you would get another check. Loyalty, that kind of people lasting 20 years in broadcasting, and it doesn't happen.
Alan, can I also say that as far as being a Puerto Rican in this community, I can't tell you how happy I was that this station came out so early when Maria struck a year ago.
Sure.
And that was an incredibly important moment for me. And I urge all of the Puerto Ricans out in the listening area to call in and pledge, because radio stations like this matter in moments of national emergency, when communities are hurting like Puerto Rico. And I'll never forget the kindness and the commitment that you showed.
And a whole couple of fund drives mm-hmm. ended up raising a lot of money. And thank you for that.
Ray's right. I mean, nobody, as someone who started out in broadcasting, you never go into broadcasting. I mean, you don't go into journalism for money, but you certainly don't go in for broadcasting for the money. But it is a calling. It really is. It is a calling with the people on that list. They get working here. Because they get the mission statement.
You know, Barry, you're so right. And this weekend couldn't have been more instructive. A great tragedy happened. The 20 people died. You know, people had the weekend off, and they came in because they knew they should come in. Alan didn't call them. Nobody called them. They just came in because it was the right thing to do. Well, here's my point. In exactly 19 minutes, we need $17,000 from people who feel, okay, I get it. We can't afford to be depressed. We may be depressed, but we can't afford to.
Cannot.
That's right.
Because if we're depressed, we're done.
That's right.
So I've got to do something. Now, somebody, I mentioned it already today, came up to me on the street yesterday and said, I just put my $20 in. I love that. I loved it because it wasn't $1,000. It wasn't $5,000. It was $20. People are doing, and here is this wonderful couple, Melissa and Dell of Springfield, who say, we'll give you $1,000 if in the next 8 minutes you can meet this challenge and raise $17,000. That's 170 people out of what? Out of 500,000, it's almost Kafkaesque. I'll tell you right now. So, you know, it is unbelievable. Please, please, I'm asking you to go to a phone now and say, let's get rid of the Columbus Day curse. And
yes.
At WAMC, and put this money in here and get that $1,000.
How do you do that?
Columbus had his own curse.
Go to 1-800-323-9262. Everybody is welcome. We want everybody to do something, and I'm asking you. Now, you know I'm talking to you, and you know who you are, and I know who I am, and I'm just asking you. I'm saying, hey, folks, let's save this station. SOS, from the very beginning, it was SOS, save the station. So if you can just go and put something in now, that would be great. Okay, want some more letters?
Sure.
1-800-323-9262 or
mention the website. Yeah.
WAMC.org. Thanks, Chief.
Okay, bud. Now go ahead, read a letter or
okay.
two.
Okay. And R. Jeremy says, just like Alan worries about not making the fund drive goal, I worry the Dems blowing the blue wave for an instance. Schumer shuts down the government. Gillibrand wants to abolish ICE. And now they overplay the inevitable Kavanaugh nomination to energize the Republican base. Why are we like this? We could discuss that, and I don't agree with a lot of it, but let's leave it alone for now.
All right.
Brucey says, mob is the word of the day. I noticed Saturday and Sunday the Republicans were nearly universally using the word mob. That's right. And Doug says, crash. I often hear reporters ask if alcohol or drugs were involved in a crash, but never if distraction texting was involved. Why? Well, no, there's an awful lot
they
of people
do it. We do ask,
that,
and the police ask, and that is a key part of it as well. We'll be asked.
Good morning, panel. Will anyone stand up to Trump? How can people believe Trump's constant lies? At Saturday's rally, he said Dianne Feinstein drafted the open borders bill and the crowd roared with anger. I'm not going to read the rest of it. But the truth of the matter is, if we're depressed, if we say we're not going to be involved, we're not going to send the money to WMC, we're not going to vote, we're not going to go out, we're not going to do it, we lose. Good morning. I donated to WMC over the weekend. I also donated to all Democrats in swing battleground states. I encourage everybody to do the same, and thank you. And then Jack said, Jack said, dear panel, the ongoing Trump fiasco and the Kavanaugh debacle leaves me nearly speechless. Not my usual self. So in the words of Barack Obama and repeated all the time by my wife, don't boo, vote. Richard says, panel, and by the way, the reason that you will find the haves and the have-nots on different sides on this is because if you have a lot, you want to keep a lot, the kid may starve at the bottom of the thing and you don't even think about that.
Right. And if you don't have a lot, you want what he has.
Richard says, panel, the reason the GOP continues to win is because the supporters can be counted on to vote. Democrats, not so much. We get what we deserve. Folks, you may get what you deserve. But that kid who doesn't have milk and who doesn't have a lunch at school, that kid doesn't deserve what they get. Okay. And Vince says, bottom line, the Democratic Party no longer appeals to the traditionally rank and file. Do you really believe that some union factory worker in the Midwest cares about transgender issues? You're a panelist. Is correct. The Democrats seem to always pick the wrong battles to fight. Libby?
Look, I think that there might be some factory worker whose kid is trans who does care about transgender issues. I think the Democratic Party has to find the balance between identity politics and reaching back to its base of working class folks, union folks, making them understand that voting, that they need to vote in a way that will help them, because more and more people are not, because the Republicans have been so effective in ripping us apart.
And Bob from Albany says, Libby talks about the need for Dems to take back state and federal seats, but where is the winning strategy and ground war to come from? The Republicans have the Heritage Foundation. Alec and several others think tanks feeding them issues and candidates. Think tanks, I see, feeding them issues and candidates. The Dems have nothing like that, and until they do, I see little hope for major change. Outrage alone is not going to do it. I don't even see the outrage right now. Polly says liberals aren't rallying. Okay, thank you, Polly.
I think women are going to be decisive.
Key.
I think women
key.
Are going to be the ones who really have make a difference in this election.
You know.
John says, abortion rights. Well, I don't care whether it or not abortion is legal. I do find that the way liberal commentators such as yourselves discuss it to be a disgrace. Abortion should be seen as a failure and a tragedy, not something to be celebrated like what happened in Ireland. Things like this are what turned me from a liberal to a conservative.
Choice.
Okay.
It's choice.
And, yes,
choice.
It's choice. Right. It's a woman's,
it's not one
woman's right.
You,
nobody
choice.
Loves abortion. Nobody loves it.
Right.
But
it's not
your
what,
kid
it's
gets
including
pregnant.
The woman who has to deal with make that choice.
That's
you,
right.
You bet. And Nance says elections. The Democrats' long-range plan should be focused on the 2020 presidential election. There will most likely be two justices retiring, Thomas and Ginsburg. A Democratic president needs to be in office to replace them. That way the court will become more liberal, Kavanaugh says, Sarah. What repeal of Roe is a huge issue that Kavanaugh may affect, while repeal of Roe is a huge issue Kavanaugh may affect, please also mention the way he may influence decisions on voter suppression through votes enabling gerrymandering.
Absolutely.
And supporting voter IDs, et cetera, and also decisions that continue to favor corporations over people.
Couldn't voting be? Rights.
Couldn't agree more.
Yep.
Russ says, gathering clouds, currently under injunction, critical limits on executive power to intimidate local governments and exact retribution on the hapless undocumented are now on their way to the Ninth Circuit Court and will probably head for the Supreme Court. Will Kavanaugh be the vote that breaks the logjam holding up executive tyranny?
Mm-hmm.
And Evan says, Ray was correct about reflexively jumping to negative conclusions about the Supreme Court's justice decisions. Too much negativity. Bravo, Ray.
Yes, because I'm a shining beacon of
take
optimism.
A bow. Take a bow.
Yes, that's one thing I always am. I'm looking on the bright side.
Speaking like a true Mets fan.
Dems are madder. Responding to the question, I would have to say the Dems are more angry and motivated. The Republicans are stoked now, pumped by Trump and Fox. The Dems' anger grows out of people with lifetime, deeply held principle. They will still be angry in November, and that's Scott. Okay, and Ann says, Lisa Murkowski. I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about Lisa Murkowski voting against Kavanaugh. It took a lot of guts on her part, and although I know little about her politics, I think she deserves our thanks. Let me tell you, she's a wonderful woman, and she has always been that way. And when the Republicans defeated her in a primary, which they did, let me just tell you, okay, the phones have been ringing now. We have made $5,000. That means we need $12,000 to get where we're going. Well, I need everybody to get to a phone. We can do this. We only have 11 minutes to do it in. Observation about progressive voters and the rest of the country. Although voters in so-called progressive states may steer their states towards a progressive agenda, the rest of the nation lives or rural or less cosmopolitan state. Places. Okay, I'm not reading the whole thing. Question for Libby and Alan. Libby, Alan, could you seriously explain to me, since you are both political, we are supposed to vote blue no matter what, but because of Democratic senators like Joe Manchin, we are going to get into the terrible stance on the Supreme Court. Joe Manchin was one guy, one mm-hmm. Democrat. One Democrat. I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live.
Oh, it was the best. It was the best.
When he walked by, who was
I
he?
I love that. He hit him in the...
Yeah.
I remember who it was.
Comment. The true swing vote now is Chief Justice Roberts. I don't think so. Roberts is going to be consistently conservative, but he knows when it's too much.
Libby.
I just want to say one thing about Joe Manchin. He voted for Trump because he put his own political career above doing the right thing, unlike Heidi Heitkamp,
yes.
who, not Trump, he voted for Kavanaugh. Heidi Heitkamp voted against Kavanaugh. She's in a very tight race. And she came out and she said, the future of the country is more important than her own political future.
And by the way, she happened to be losing the polls.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see whether that spirit of independence
is
rewarded. Okay.
Yes.
So anyway, that's Tom. And then Hope says, I really believe women are going to make the difference in this election. Okay. That's it. So ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it all this morning. You've heard why we need to get to the $500,000 mark in this fund drive. We are inches away from the $400,000 mark. That will give us 4 days to raise the money that we need to get to $500,000 in the lockbox. You've heard about all the people from Ian Pickus. Young Ian, 10 years here.
Wow, he started when he was four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wanda Fisher, 29 years here. It's unbelievable how committed
this is. How long have you been here?
Well, I started in 1979.
Didn't that's 39 years.
That's a lot of labor.
Boy, that's a long time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I appreciate that so much, and I love all those people who have been, you know, who are on that group I just read, and everybody else who's here. You know, we have wonderful people who are truly committed to this place. It's great.
The email address, not the email address, the web address, if you want to make a pledge, is WAMC.org, WAMC.org. There's a lockbox icon there that you can click
Eight
on.
8 minutes.
You know, we have, got to say, we have a few left of the Capitol Steps tickets. That's November 9th, 7:30 p.m. Pair of tickets, $150 pledge or more. Single ticket for a $100 pledge or more. And that's a WAMC-only event. We also have some... I think they're two-thirds gone now. The roundtable panel, November 7th at the Linda. That is a post-midterm election panel. That's a single ticket for a $100 pledge.
And you can have anything else on the tchotchke list. However, let me just say to all of you, there's really only one reason to put the money in right now. And that's because it's your station. And it stands out there as an extraordinary buttress for free speech for everyone. Free speech for everyone. You heard a very negative letter just a few seconds ago. We read them because you write them. I don't think you'll always hear that on every Fox-type station in the world. So 1-800-323-9262. Do it for Alan. I'm inviting you now to keep this thing going. Don't let the light go out. Don't let the light go out. Let's make this happen.
1-800-323-9262 is the number. WAMC.org is the website.
We raised $5,000 just a few minutes. Now we can raise the other 12. Let's do it now. Everything on the table will count.
Okay.
And remember, There's a $1,000 challenge to make this happen.
By the way, philosophically,
yes,
Alan,
please.
As a political scientist,
yes, exactly.
Putting aside the red, the blue, the purple, the conservative, the liberal, if in fact, as Barry suggested may happen, these midterms are, you're seeing a huge amount of turnout, is that in fact a good thing for our government and our democracy?
It's a great thing. It's a great thing
it's what we're all supposed to do.
Because that's what it is supposed to be. And, you know, there are those people who say, you know, the people who don't vote, well, they deserve what they get. They don't. Their kids don't deserve it. You know, right now the big farm bill issue is whether to end the SNAP program so that people can have enough money to
And when you say, well, they didn't vote, they deserve what they get, that's such a negative perspective about humanity, you know, and we have, in order for us to change what's happening in this country, you know, I know it sounds a little Pollyannish, but we have to be more positive. We have to be able to help the people who can't help themselves.
Sarah writes, what would the impact of term limits for Supreme Court justices be? Come on now. You need a constitutional amendment. You're not going to get it, particularly with these clowns.
And you think about the Supreme Court now. You have justices that were put on by Clinton, by George W. Bush, by
Obama,
by the other Bush, by Trump. Washington. I mean, it is. I mean, this is – we talk about democracy. That's an amazing thing. This Supreme Court is put on by Democrats and Republicans, whatever Trump is, the conservatives, and it's a whole mix. I mean, that is what maybe one of the best parts about this country.
And Jay writes a letter that many people like me might not like, but we read them. Liberals are their own worst enemies. Exaggeration, hyperbole, whining, impractical proposals on almost every issue, scaring or demonizing people to see issues as liberals, see issues as off-putting, and that's from Jay. And by the way, one of the things that does happen, because I don't know what Jay is, a Republican or a Democrat or the rest of it, but I can say that it's all about, you know, let's not start to fight with each other here. Right. That would be awful. Robert says, leadership. You cannot defeat a party, an idea, or a movement without leadership and a united front. And then he goes on, but then I'm stopping right there.
Alan, what did you think about, again, kind of going back to Schumer, Pelosi? I mean, we really didn't hear from any Democratic leadership.
No, that's right. Schumer, who has always been a friend, I've always liked him, had him on the station many, many times. I think he's been disappointing. I
agree with that.
I really
resounding
do.
Yes from this quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I think the leadership in general. I mean, we really are at a point in which some things need to change.
I hear from Nancy Pelosi almost every day now on my internet saying, "Give her a dollar." I don't want to just see this become a fundraising machine. I want somebody who's up there who really can bring the passion out, you know, of the people. Yeah. Ray, you were going to say something?
No, I was not, sir. Oh, I was going to remind everybody that we have a few minutes left here in which to raise some money. We have a challenge on the table here. The fund drive begins on air a week from today, and we've done pretty well this morning, but we need to do a little better at WAMC.org or 1-800-323-9260.
I think it's important that we didn't get to it today, but the whole issue of climate change and issue of how this administration is just making a mockery.
And a major report just came out today.
That's right.
Yeah, that was on the list for today.
Which basically says, hey, what year? By
20 years.
10 years.
Yeah. 10 years?
I think it's 10.
2020?
2010?
No, 2040.
2040.
Yeah. And we're done. Right. We're done.
Yeah.
And so everybody out there who thinks that's important should pick up a phone, because there's so much coverage here on this station about climate change that it really is imperative that we vote with that in mind.
Except for Jay, who wrote to us, liberals are their own worst enemies, exaggeration, hyperbole, whining, and impractical proposals on every issue. This one?
It's like every science fiction book we read as kids is coming true.
Well, did you read about how people in Silicon Valley are constructing doomsday quarters in Australia? Or did you read that?
It won't
people
help.
With all the money.
We have $11,000 to go. $11,000 to go.
We have 1 minute and 30 seconds before we have to leave for the news.
But when we come back from the news, you'll be able to tell everybody.
Will we? Will I?
I don't know.
No, not really.
Okay.
But you can take it on faith and give us a call at 1-800-323-9262. You see, we have BBC News, and then we have some interesting interviews coming up on the roundtable.
Yes, we do.
Who do you have?
I forgot.
You'll know soon.
It's on the list.
You'll know, sir.
Yeah, you don't know, huh? Okay, so
I'm the fill-in host. I'm just, you know.
You'll know soon.
Okay.
All right, once again, WAMC.org is the website, and we have a lockbox. There's stuff to give away if you want it. But the main thing is you chip in now. We'll shorten that fund drive a week from today.
And by the way, folks, that's what it's all about. It's all about keeping this thing going, not letting the light go out, keeping our mutual respect for each other going by just putting something, anything in. 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org.
I, for one, hope the fund drive goes 10 or 12 days because I enjoy working with you that much.
And I like looking at your face, Mr. Kosygin.
It's really wonderful.
Why don't you two get a room?
Get a room.
Lambeo.
All right, on that disturbing note, let's end the panel. Thanks again to Barry Lewis, Dan Irizarry, Libby Post, Alan Chartok. Thank you for listening. The roundtable continues momentarily on WAMC.